It's 3 p.m. Central, and it's Basic Gospel Live with Bob Christopher and Richard Piper. I'm Bob Davis, welcoming you today. If you have a question or something you'd like to talk about, we have a line open for you right now at 844-322-2742, whether it's the U.S. or Canada. Toll free, 844-322-2742. It's good to be back with you again, everybody. Glad you're here, and here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. You know, when I grew or was growing in Christ early on in my Christian experience, I was taught, you know, you need to memorize a lot of Bible verses. Mm-hmm. And I memorized a lot of Bible verses, and certainly memorized the ones about assurance of salvation. And it kind of was communicated to me that if I really wanted assurance of salvation, it was dependent upon my memory. Mm-hmm. Could I pull out one of those Bible verses when I was doubting, when I was confused, when I was fearful, when I was feeling guilty, and all of those sort of things? And could my memory work well enough to fight those other forces?
Yeah.
And I didn't do too well with my memory. And today we're going to share a verse that tells us we have something better than our memory as far as our assurance of salvation is concerned. And it's the Holy Spirit himself. In Romans chapter 8, Paul says this, "For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father." So we had a spirit of fear and slavery. I mean, that was spirit that was in all of us. We were so frightened of God. We were fearful of punishment. And that's just how we came into this world. That's just the consequence of sin, or one of the consequences of sin, is that fear is the driving force within the lost world, within a lost heart. Fear of punishment as it relates to a relationship with God. And so we feel like that prodigal son. I'm not worthy to be even called your servant. And we have these speeches all lined up.
Yeah.
But that's not the spirit that God desires for us. So he replaced that with his Holy Spirit. And he's called that the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. So God wants us to know that we truly are his children. Mm-hmm. He doesn't want to leave that ambiguous. He doesn't want to leave kind of a cloud over that and leave us in doubt and wondering. He wants us to see clearly that we truly are children of God. And then he says this, "The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God." So when you're saved, when that salvation happens, you've heard the gospel, you believe the gospel, you are born again, you are created anew. Mm-hmm. The old is gone, the new has come. Well, the Holy Spirit comes to take up residence in you. Your spirit is made alive, and there's a fusion that takes place. There's a union. So you've become one with Christ in spirit. That's great news.
Yeah.
Well, the Holy Spirit has something to say to our human spirit. And here's what it is, that you are a child of God. So the Holy Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are indeed children of God. Talk about confirmation. Talk about assurance.
Really?
Mm-hmm. And that is truth that can really anchor us in the midst of doubt and confusion and all of those things that we experience as human beings.
Mm-hmm.
God wants us anchored. God wants us to be assured. And he wants it so badly that he placed his spirit into our hearts, by which he's going to bear witness with our human spirits that indeed we are children of God.
Yeah.
It's a masterful plan, isn't it?
Oh, it's an awesome plan. And you notice all this fear we have of losing our salvation is just an emotion. That's how the enemy attacks us. Mm-hmm. Oh, my, you've done it this time.
Yeah.
And the spirit is inside of us every moment of every day saying, no, you're mine. You're mine. You really are mine. You belong to me.
Mm-hmm.
The verse continues on. We're heirs of God and fellow heirs with Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
It doesn't get any better than this.
No.
This is assurance. Stop listening to our emotions. start listening to the Spirit inside
That's
of
right.
us.
That's right. Our emotions will lead us down a path of error.
Yep.
And it'll just be awful as far as our assurance is mm-hmm. concerned. Listen to truth. That truth is being spoken to you right now. If you're a child
right
of God, by the Spirit of God, He is bearing witness with your spirit that you are indeed a child of God.
That is good news, that the same news that you hear every day on Basic Gospel without fail. And friends, if it's 5 minutes after 3 p.m. Central Time, you're hearing Basic Gospel Live. We want to hear from you. Come on in. Join the conversation. It's a good one we're having. 844-322-2742 is the number in the U.S. and Canada. 844-322-2742. You know, guys and friends, we get nice notes from our listeners testifying how the truth of the grace of God that they've heard on Basic Gospel has made a difference in their lives. Now, we shared a note yesterday from Victoria, a California listener who was moved to write a note of thanks for the series It's All Yours. That, of course, that was our way of saying thanks last month for your gifts. And Victoria said, it's unique to find a true rightly dividing the word ministry anymore, and praying that the ears and hearts of those who call into Basic Gospel will be open and hungry for the truth of Jesus Christ, who is God. Well, you know, frankly, we wouldn't have reached Virginia had it not been for the prayers and gifts of many of you who supported Basic Gospel to make it possible to broadcast into her hometown. And that's true of countless others as well. And that's why we need your help. We need your gifts, not only just to pay the bills, of course, that is vital, but to take this message far and wide. So we ask you to click donate at basicgospel.net or use the Basic Gospel app or PayPal to make your February gift and reach many more like Virginia. In Canada, of course, you can give at basicgospel.net/Canada. And when you do, request your copy of our series, Eternal Security. And what a series that is. Well, again, open lines, 844-322-2742. And guys, we had this question that came in overnight. Let's listen.
Hello. If Christians don't forgive others, God doesn't forgive them. Where does a Christian stand? Is he lost? Thank you. Bye-bye.
Boy, that's an excellent question. And it comes from the passage in Matthew chapter 6. Mm-hmm. So we know this passage is the Lord's Prayer, and many believers recite this every Sunday in unison type of thing. But we end it, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil, world without end. Amen.
Yeah.
And but Jesus had some further thoughts, some further comments on this, and he says, if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. So we see a contingency here, don't we?
Mm-hmm.
We see a condition. If you forgive, then your heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. So that's a pretty stark statement, and it's a very frightening statement. Oh, no, if I don't forgive others, you mean God's not going to forgive me? And as this lady was asking, where does that leave us?
Mm-hmm.
Well,
yeah.
If there's a sin that goes unforgiven, that leaves us in a lost condition.
Yes.
Well, here's some information that we really need to understand. When you look at the law, for example, when God established the Mosaic Covenant with the people of Israel, it was written in if-then language.
Mm-hmm.
If you obey my statutes and commandments, then I will be your God, mm-hmm. and you will be my people. So it was a conditional covenant. It was a two-party covenant, a bilateral covenant. So both parties had terms and conditions to meet. Well, we know God is going to always meet his terms and conditions. The problem with that old covenant was the people.
Yeah.
They were unable to fulfill their end of the bargain. As the story tells, 3 weeks after they've ratified this covenant, they've built the golden calf and are bowing down and worshiping it and violating commandment number one. They were in breach of the contract right from the get-go, mm-hmm. almost. So, but the thing that we need to notice is the language that it was written in, if then. Well, we see the same language in this particular passage. If you forgive, then God. If you don't forgive, then God won't forgive you. So we see a conditional aspect, a bilateral aspect in this. Well, it's a deepening of the old covenant. It's really taking it to matters of the heart. You may be clean on the outside, but what is going on in your heart? And Jesus is really burying the people and saying, hey, you really don't have what it takes. So this is a very, very stark comment. Now, we see a change after an event occurred, and that event was the cross of Jesus Christ. So Jesus is giving this prayer, giving out this information before his death on the cross, before he was going to offer up his blood as the once-for-all sacrifice for sin. But once that happened, the old covenant ended, and a new covenant was ushered in. And it's this new covenant that we live in today. And so in the new covenant, the language has changed. Why? Because the nature of the covenant has changed.
Yes.
The old covenant was bilateral. It was made by someone greater and entered into by a group that was inferior. But this new covenant was simply a declaration of God's heart, God's will, God's decrees for us. So it is a grace covenant from him for us. We're just the beneficiaries. We're just the recipients of the goodness, the kindness, the grace of God, our Savior and the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Now, what do we receive in this new covenant? We receive redemption, the forgiveness of sins.
Yes.
As Peter was talking to Cornelius in his household, he said, everyone who believes will receive forgiveness of sins.
Mm-hmm.
Well, when we come to Christ, what do we receive? We receive forgiveness of sins. So Paul made a comment in Ephesians chapter 1, in him we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance to the riches of God's grace, which he has lavished upon us. In 1 John 2:12, we have this just really clear, bold, direct statement. My little children, I am writing to you because your sins have been forgiven on account of his name.
Right.
We see time and time again in this new covenant that the forgiveness issue is a done deal.
Yes.
We are forgiven people. So what does that mean? Well, here's what it means. And Paul is just so clear on this in both the book of Ephesians and the book of Colossians. He said, be kind. This is Ephesians 4:32. Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you.
Yeah.
So the cross changed everything. It changed the nature of our relationship. No longer, as the people of Israel were bound by an if-then covenant, a bilateral covenant, we are just experiencing God's will for us, and that is this new covenant. And so our forgiveness for others flows out of the forgiveness that we have received from Christ Jesus. We are to forgive as God in Christ has forgiven us. So a believer is always standing in the grace of God. A believer can never be outside of the grace of God. Why? Because all of our sins have been forgiven, every single one of them. And that blood of Jesus was sufficient to take away the sins of the entire world. So when we go out and evangelize and share the gospel with those who are lost, we have the wonderful privilege to be ministers of reconciliation and communicate that God was in Christ reconciling the whole world unto himself, not counting men's sins against them. All God wants for somebody who is lost is to receive Jesus, mm-hmm. to receive his life, to be made alive. And that blood that was shed, then they can have that forgiveness that is bound up in the person of Jesus Christ. So everything changed at the cross. And so as believers, we're in this new covenant. God remembers our sins no more. There's no longer any sacrifice for sins. We're just forgiven folks.
Yes, we are.
And we have the great joy and privilege of extending that forgiveness to others as God in Christ has forgiven us. Richard, any thoughts?
Well, one of the things I had to learn about this Sermon on the Mount was that it is the single greatest exposition of the law ever stated. And it should be. Jesus himself explained it. But when you look at that whole sermon overall, you must be struck with your own inability, your own lostness, which is exactly the point. I can't do this, but Jesus did. And that's why we don't get caught up in, well, have I forgiven or have I not? You know, have I done everything I was supposed to, or have I not done everything I was supposed to? Because we could never do everything we were supposed to. We were dead. Jesus made us alive. Once we've come alive, then we have this incredible privilege of allowing his forgiveness to flow through us. And, I mean, it's an awesome thing. If you're forgiving someone because you think you have to, in the back of your mind you're saying, okay, I'm saying I'm forgiving you, but I'm not.
Yeah, and here's the reality. We have Christ living in us. So what is he going to do? He's going to work that forgiveness in our hearts.
Absolutely.
So it just naturally flows.
Mm-hmm.
I love what you said there. You know, we could never do enough. Well, here's the good news. Jesus did do enough, and we're the beneficiaries of his work for
us. Beautiful thing.
Through death, burial, and resurrection. So
yes, indeed.
Thank you for that great question.
Yes, great question, and we appreciate hearing from our listeners. And if you call and leave a voicemail for us, be sure to leave your first name. We would love to be able to address you by name. Or if you don't want to use your name, use a part of your name that you don't normally do, like my middle name. I would never use it, so you can do something like that. So just so we'll have a name that you can be recognized by. Friends, if the gospel message you hear every day on Basic Gospel is making a difference for you, please remember that others also need to hear this good news of Jesus Christ. And your gift, when you make your gift, it does make a difference. And we need your support this month. So click donate at basicgospel.net or use the Basic Gospel app or PayPal. And in Canada, as always, go to basicgospel.net/Canada. We would love to send you a copy of our series called Eternal Security as you make your gift this month to Basic Gospel. Well, again, 844-322-2742. We have plenty of open lines right now. Still got some time on the clock. We'd love to hear from you. In the meantime, guys, a question about 1 Corinthians 6, verse 9. This comes from Noah, who views the broadcast every day on YouTube, and he says, what does abusers of themselves with mankind mean? That's 1 Corinthians 6, 9.
Well, I think that's a King James Version rendering of this particular verse. In the ESV, it's rendered this way: do you not know that the unrighteous, and that's the key word.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you have this scripture reference out, or you want to go, circle the word unrighteous. Mm-hmm. Because this is information for the unrighteous. He's saying, do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor men who practice homosexuality, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. So these things are all the fruits of unrighteousness. So this is what we see out there in the lost world. And so he's simply saying that, don't you know that the unrighteous are not going to inherit the kingdom of God? So why, go back and be engaged in some of those practices? That doesn't reflect what Jesus Christ has done in and through you. And so remember, and that's what he says in verse 11, and such were some of you. We came out of that, didn't
yes.
we? We all had sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Our story was not a good story, and God rescued us from that story of sin and death and put us in a new story, a story of life and love and peace in Christ Jesus. Mm-hmm. That's the new story that we're in. So he says, hey, just remember the story you're in and how you got there. It wasn't because you did some great things to move you from one realm to another. It's because God did a great work on your behalf. And that's what he says here. And such were some of you, but you were washed. You were sanctified. You were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. You have a brand new identity.
Yes.
You're no longer labeled as an unrighteous person or a sinner. You're a saint. Mm-hmm. You are holy and blameless in God's sight. So let that truth really start to take root in that mind of yours. And then as it does, then you will see a whole different look on life. And you will see the fruit of the Spirit coming out of you in wonderful and marvelous ways.
Yeah, one of the things that again, we need to get past as Christians is we're not called to be going out there and looking for the swindlers or the drunkards or the revilers. But we were those people. The only motivation for change, the only possible motivation for change, is the fact that we were washed, sanctified, justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. That's the motivation. Nothing else. I can't convince you with any other argument than that. If I bring any other argument to bear, then I'm putting you under a law that I have created, and that's wrong.
Yes.
It's Jesus or nothing. He's the only hope.
Yeah. Well, it is Basic Gospel with Bob Christopher, Richard Pfeiffer. I'm Bob Davis. I had this question from our friend Clay, who lives in Thorndale, Texas. He says, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. What about those who have rejected grace or not heard yet? Wouldn't they still be under the law of sin and death unless grace sets them free by faith, one heart at a time? The law is fulfilled in Christ, but don't you have to be in him to have the righteousness he gave and gives to all who believe in his name, according to John 3:18? That's from Clay in Thorndale, Texas.
Well, that's exactly right. We come into this world under the condemnation of God, under the condemnation of the law of sin and death. That was clearly stated way back in the garden. When you sin, you will surely die. When you partake of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you will die. Well, what happened to Adam and Eve when they ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil? They died spiritually. They didn't die physically. That happened some, 900 years yeah. later, but it brought death,
mm-hmm.
Complete death. And so when they had Seth, in the fifth chapter of Genesis, it says that Seth was born in the image of Adam and Eve. So they had passed on that spiritual condition
yeah.
to Seth. And that spiritual condition, which is spiritual death, has been passed on to all humanity. So we come into this world spiritually dead. As Paul wrote in Ephesians chapter 2, we were by nature children of wrath.
Yes.
We were under that condemnation. Well, when we receive the gospel, when we're made alive together with Christ, the Holy Spirit takes us out of Adam and places us into Jesus. And it's in Jesus that there is no condemnation. Why? Because we are no longer spiritually dead. We are fully alive in him.
Yes, indeed. Clay, good to hear from you as always. And Noah is also. You know, friends, understanding the eternal surety of your salvation is vital to living the full and abundant life that Jesus has offered to all who come to him by faith. If you have received the life of Jesus Christ, we want you to know that in him you are safe and secure. And to help your understanding of your identity, we're offering a wonderful DVD called Eternal Security as our way of saying thanks to you for your gift this month. Click donate at basicgospel.net or use the Basic Gospel app or PayPal. And in Canada, you can go to basicgospel.net/Canada. And when you do, be sure to request your copy of Eternal Security. Remember the listener line, too. It's always open for any question you might have, day or night. That number is 844-322-2742. Call anytime. Again, 844-322-2742. Well, now for Bob Christopher, for Richard Pfeiffer, and all this great ministry team, I'm Bob Davis inviting you back again for that great study in Ephesians that will be going on at this time tomorrow. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.